Okay, good morning, Bishop Rabbi Krohn. So we are on Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, after the long Mishnah on the bottom where the Gemara starts. So the Mishnah, if you recall from last week, gave all of these back and forth cases of Cheresh and Chereshes and all of that. So the Gemara is going to start off with a series of discussions about how typically, if you know, when within the scope of the Gemara, you always talk about Cheresh, Shota, V'katan is like this group of three that kind of often is handled in the same way, where they're either exempt or are not involved in something. So we're going to talk now about how Cheresh or Chereshetz differs from Shota and Katan, and where they're not necessarily the same. So starting with the Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Ma'ishna Cheresh V'Chereshetz, the Takina Rabbanan Nisuin. So we've learned that by a Cheresh, by the deaf person, that there is this Rabbanan concept of marriage. So it's not a Doresa marriage, but there's a Darabbanan marriage. Umaishna Shota, Vishota, the Lotakina Rabbanan Nisuin. And by a Shota or Shota, there is no rabbinic marriage available to them. The Tani went to the Braisa. Shota v'katan, if you have a shota or you have a katan, shenasu nashim, and they married women, umesu, and then they died. Nishoseim turos mina chalitza mina yibam. There's no concept of chalitza or yibam when it comes to a shota or when it comes to a katan. The reason is because it's not even really considered a rabbinic marriage. So why is it that way by a deaf person, but it's not that way by a shota or by a katan? So the Gemara answers, Cheresh v'chareshes, by the deaf people, the kaima takanta derabbanan, and there's a rabbinic edict was put in place because those types of marriages can last. Because a cheresh v'chareshes, someone is able to be married with them and live harmoniously. So for them, takinu lahu rabbanan nesuin. The rabbanan would be in a nesuin because you could have a marriage where one of the parties was a deaf person. Shota v'shota, but if you have someone who's really a shota, someone who's really, you know, what the art scroll defines as an insane person, the rabbanan would never make that kind of marriage because that kind of marriage is not viable. How can someone really can't be married to someone who is really, you know, considered insane? The ain adam darim nachash bechafifa achas. No one is going to live together with a snake in one basket. Meaning, no one's going to want to be married to someone like that. Therefore, lotakin rabbanan nesu, and therefore the rabbanan did not make a concept of a rabbinic marriage when it comes to a shota. Umayishna katan. What about a katan? Lotakin rabbanan nesu, and where the rabbanan did not make a nesuin, the cheresh takin lo nesuin, but by a deaf person they did do a nesuin. The answer is cheresh lo asil chal nesuin. A deaf person never will ever come to the status of being able to be eligible for a biblical marriage. Takina Rabbanan Nesuin, because they'll be deaf forever. So that the Rabbanan made them this rabbinic case of a marriage. Katan to Asil Chal Nesuin, but a Katan, you know, he's going to grow up. He'll be, you know, come 13 years old, and he'll be able to be married, you know, as a, you know, full biblical marriage. So therefore, lo Takina Rabbanan Nesuin. There was no need for them to establish this rabbinic marriage for them. The Harik Tana, but we've learned many times that it's a concept of the Tana. What about the girl? The girl, you know, the father is able to marry her off. The brothers are able to marry, brother and mother is able to marry them off if they are, if the father dies. The Asi L'chal Nesuin, she's also eventually going to turn 12 and be able to get married with Takinu Rabbanan Nesuin. But by her, they made this rabbinic marriage. The reason is Hasam Shal Yoyin Haguba Minhag Hefker. So people wouldn't treat her. Treat her in an indignified, immoral manner, because the concern was, and Rashi talks about this, that especially in the case where the father died and there's no one really to protect her, so the brother and the mother married her off, and that was kind of what was like a mechanism to have like something set up for her, because otherwise she'd be, you know, on her own living in a cruel world. And what's the difference between a ktana that's able to do miyun? So we've learned for a long time that when you have the case where the brother or the mother married the girl off, when she's able to do miyun, she's able to at any point say, up until she becomes a gadola, say, you know, I'm out, you know, let's annul the marriage. But that doesn't exist by a chareshes. These are both rabbinic marriages, so why shouldn't a cheresh also have the ability to say, you know what, I've changed my mind? Im Kane, if that was the case, turning to Kuf Yud Gimel on the top, Mimining on Asvile, no one would want to marry them, because the case by a cheresh is, that's a forever situation. So someone marries a cheresh or a chereshes, they'll be married for 30, 40, 50 years, potentially. And, no one's going to want to do that if they know that at any given time, they could say, you know what, I'm out. When it comes to a tana, there's, a few years. You worry about it for a few years, but eventually, if you're able to keep her on the hook until she's 12, then she's going to be married to you, permanently forever. Okay, now moving on to another difference. Umayshnak tana da achu b'truma. So a tana is able to eat truma. So normally, if a ktana, what happens here is the father died and the mother marries her off, or the brother marries him off, and she marries him to a kohen, she's able to eat truma. Umayshnak chareshes lo achu truma, but you have a chareshes if she's married to a kohen. And it happens to be a case, I think it's explained that it happens to be a case where it's also similarly that it was married off by the brother or the mother when the father died. In that case, if she was a chareshes, she would not be able to eat truma. The tana, we learned in the Mishnah, heid al Rabbi Yochanan Megduda, chareshes siya ava, but a chareshes, whose father married her off when she was young, she yotza beget. When she goes out from the marriage, she gets a get. So if the father marries her off, it's considered more of a biblical marriage. But if the brother and the mother marry her off, it's considered a rabbinic marriage. Ktana bas Yisrael. And he also said about Ktana, who is a daughter bas Yisrael, she nisa a kohen, and she's married to a kohen, she ochelos b'truma, she may eat truma. So in that case, again, it's a rabbinic marriage, and she's able to eat truma. And it doesn't mention that the chareshes is able to eat truma, so we would say that the chareshes doesn't have truma while the ktana does. You're worried that maybe you have a case where you have a kohen who's a cheresh will give truma to his wife who's also a chareshes. So in that case, you're concerned about that. But let, why not? Why are we worried about this? Why are we worried about this deaf mute kohen and his wife? Because we learn katan ochel nevelosu, that it's similar to a young person who eats nevelo, eats not improperly shechted meat. So if you have improperly shechted meat, the bezdin isn't required to really stop them from doing that, because they're not really. Even though we have a concept of chinuch that we live with these days, in reality, the katan and these people are not really chayiv and mitzvos yet. So it's not really up, the court isn't really obligated to stop them. So the chareshes, the court isn't really obligated to stop her if she eats something she shouldn't be eating. The issue is, though, gzeira shema yachil cheresh pikachas. You might worry about a case where you have a kohen who is a cheresh, and what he'll do is he'll give this truma to his competent, for lack of a better term, wife, because she, unlike a chareshes and unlike a minor, is responsible, and she'd be held liable if she ate truma when she wasn't supposed to. So you're worried about that. So because you're worried about that, you wouldn't allow this situation. V'cheresh b'pikachas nami, and also in the case of a kohen who's a deaf mute with a pikeach, with a competent wife, lecha b'truma d'rabanan. Maybe she should be allowed to eat truma at least on a d'rabanan level, because her marriage is a d'rabanan, and therefore she wouldn't be chayav miso, because it's really a d'rabanan marriage, and maybe she should be allowed on a d'rabanan level to eat truma. The answer is gzema dilma asil ocha b'truma d'araisa. Maybe she'll wind up eating truma on a daraisa level, which she's not entitled to, and therefore be chayiv as a result. So because of that, you avoid the whole situation. Umay shnak tana de isak suba. And what's the difference between aktana? Aktana gets a ksuba. So in other words, typically when someone gets married, they have you sign a ksuba, and then if the husband dies or there's a divorce, the wife is eligible to collect the ksuba as her payment. But when a chareshes, there is no ksuba. So again, these are both rabbinic marriages. But when it comes to a ktana, she would get a ksuba. When it comes to a chareshes, she would not get a ksuba. So why is there a difference? Same thing. We said before that if people were forced to pay off, would have to pay for marrying a chareshes, Aksuba, they wouldn't want to marry her. And the Rabbanim were concerned. They wanted to make sure that they had the possibility of getting married. Uktana minala de isla ksuba. And how do we know that Ktana is able to get a ksuba? The Tana, we went to the Mishnah, Hamamenes, Vashniya, Ve'elunah, said that a Ktana, a minor, a Shnia, someone who's a Shnila Erva, meaning that he's not a Daraisa Erva, but maybe one that's like a Geder, one that was set up as like a harchaka, such as like a grandmother. You know, we learned some of these things earlier, or an alienist, or someone who we know is not able to have children. Ein lahen ksuba, they don't have the right to get their ksuba. Aval, but yotze beget uktana, someone but if they do get a get, that. So what we're saying is that if Shili, so we're talking about earlier we said the Hamamenes, right? So Hamamenes is when she leaves on her own volition, right? She says she doesn't want to be married anymore. Aval yatza beget uktana, but if he divorces her, uktana, and she is a ktana, yesh la ksuba. So we learn in the case of a ktana, if she leaves by miyun, where she says she wants out, then she doesn't get her ksuba. But if he divorces her, she does get her ksuba. So therefore, we learn from this that the ktana does get the ksuba, unlike the other two. The chareshes minalan de lesa ksuba. And how do we know that a chareshes does not get a ksuba? The tanya weren't the braisa cheresh v'shote shenasu pikkos. And if you have a cheresh, a man who is a cheresh, and a shote, a man who is a shote, and they married a competent woman, even though this cheresh may have gotten back his facility, so all of a sudden he stopped being a cheresh, or the shote suddenly became unshotad, he became, you know, fully competent again. The wives have no ksuba claim against them at all. So, however, if after these men got better, they remained with their wives, and I think Rashi explains that they then went on and had bia, which basically reestablishes the marriage. Yesh la ksuba, once they stay in the marriage, the women have the right to a ksuba. So if, when they got competent, if they were to discharge these women, send them off, they wouldn't have to pay them a ksuba. But if they remained married, after they became competent, they would have to pay her a ksuba.
Almost from the original ksuba?
Right, because, well, it's not really retroactive, because she never really had, she would not have had a ksuba otherwise. But when he stays married to her, once he becomes competent, then she's eligible for the ksuba. Even though he became okay, she's not able to make a claim against him. Mm-hmm. But if he remains married from that point on, she's able to. Upikeah, Ratzel Kaiman. Yeshlem ksuba. She does get a ksuba. Upikeach shenasa chareshes or shota. But if you have a competent male who marries a chareshes or a shota, a woman who's a chareshes or a shota, afilu kaslahem mayamana, even if he decides to write for a ksuba of 100, ksuba kayemes. Her ksuba is valid. Why? We said she doesn't get a ksuba. Mibnei sharatzel azok b'rechasov. He's doing it on his own. He decided on his own he wants to give her from his money. Taima de Ratza. Now, Taima de Ratza, and the reason that she gets her ksuba because the husband wanted to give her. Hala Ratza, but if he chose not to give it to her, ain la, she doesn't get it. Men wouldn't want to marry them in the first place if they knew they had to give a ksuba. Ihachi, if they're worried about the deaf people not being able to marry. Pikachas acherish. What about the opposite case about a woman not being willing to marry a man who's a cheresh? Liten laksuba. Maybe he should have to give her a ksuba to make her want to get married. Dim kemi mani l'minasve. Maybe she therefore won't want to marry him. Gemara answers. You know, less than politically correct comment. Yotime she'ish rosalisa that isha rosalinasa. A woman wants to get married a lot more and therefore would be willing to go along with it, unlike a man. And he knows Ahu Cheresh. It was once a case of a man who was a Cheresh. Dehave Bishvute de Rab Malkio. He was living in Rab Malkio's neighborhood. Ansfe Insa, and he married this Cheresh with a woman. The Kasla Arame Azuze Minichste, and he was like the trustee for the deaf person. And he wrote a ksuba of 400 zuz from the deaf person's property. Amar Rava. Rava said, "My Chakim the Rav Balkiel. He's so smart that he did this. The Gavar Rava, who he's a great man, Kesavar, because he said, Ilo Ratzah Shifl L'Shamsho. Either way, I would have had to hire someone to take care of this guy. I would have had to hire like a shifcha, a slave person, to take care of him. Milo Zavnila, I would have had to pay it from the same money. Kol Shekein Hacha, Dika Tarki. I get two things out of it. I get someone that's to take care of it and someone that's going to marry him. So, you know, he was able to make it happen on the other way. Amar Abchiya Bar Ashi Amar Shmuel. Eishas Cheresh Ein Chayav Malea Asham Talali. So an Asham Talali is where you have a case of where you may have two things in front of you. One is good and one is bad. And you don't know whether you took the good or the bad. So therefore, you have to bring this Asham Talali because you had this suffix. So maybe you want to say, if you have a case of someone who inadvertently had relations with the wife of a Cheresh, that because it's a suffix marriage, maybe he should have to bring an Asham Talali. Lame Messiah, and shall we say that the following Mishnah follows it? Chamisha le Yitruma. There are five people who don't bring Truma. V'imitarmu ain't Truma so Truma. Their Truma doesn't count. V'eluhain. Chayre Shota v'katan, these three. V'atar Mishnah ain't Shalom. And someone who brings Truma that doesn't belong to him. V'ogu v'kachavim shetavel shetarm sheYisrael. And a non-Jew who brought Truma from the Jew stuff. Afil b'rishus v'Yisrael, even with the Jew's capability. Ain't Truma so Truma. The Truma doesn't count. But this doesn't really work. Who could Amar Rabbi Elazar? Maybe it follows Rabbi Elazar. The Tanya, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Mishum Rabbi Elazar. He said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Truma Cheresh Lo Teitzu L'Chulin. The Truma of a Cheresh shouldn't be considered Chulin. Mipneishu Suffolk, because it is a Suffolk. It's a Suffolk itself. Isvira Rabbi Elazar. Asham Talu Na Michave. Then maybe he should have to bring an Asham Talu instead, because it was a Suffolk. Our answers and with this, we'll stop for today. Because when it comes to a Asham Talui, it's where you had a choice of A or B and you don't know if you chose the right one. But here it's a suffix on its own. So because there was no choice of A or B, it doesn't qualify for an Asham Talui. With this, we'll stop and pick up tomorrow. Everyone should have a wonderful day.